know, so much going on here in the corruption. It's the corruption that really, you know, what John Durham is laying out now about a coordinated effort, a joint venture, he called it, between the Clinton campaign and intelligence community and others, impacting or attempting to impact the 2016 election. And then Joe Biden, according to a brand new article here in the Washington Times, 255,000 excess votes in swing states in 2020. Dr. John Lott contributing and explaining that those are his findings. And he's with us now, Dr. John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. Doctor, good to have you back.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I didn't write that story, but they were writing the news story about some of my work. But
correct.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's in the Washington Times. Anybody wants to look it up? But tell me about these two, the more than a quarter million excess votes in swing states that have been, questionable outcomes, right?
Yeah, in six states. Look, I'm not trying to relitigate the 2020 election. I don't think that that would be particularly useful. My concern is kind of going forward and making sure that the voting system works accurately. I mean, you and I have talked before about what an outlier the United States is in terms of anti-fraud voting rules. I mean, the rest of the world uses government-issued photo IDs. Vast majority of the rest of the world, look at Europe, for example, bans absentee ballots because they're concerned that they would be stolen and voted, or there'll be vote buying or other problems with it. As far as leaving ballot boxes out unattended, there's no country in the world that doesn't have strict chain of outside of the United States that doesn't have strict chain of custody rules with regard to ballot boxes. The notion of leaving a ballot boxes out unattended at 3 a.m. in the morning is something that would never cross the minds of these other people. So there are reasons to want to look at this stuff. And I was working at the U.S. Department of Justice during the election. And I've done a lot of research, published several dozen papers on measuring vote fraud, on looking at voting, on voting machines, and other types of things. And so it always seemed natural that I would look at this issue. And what I try to do in this peer-reviewed study that's coming out, people can find it at our website at crimeresearch.org, is to go and try to measure how much was going on. Because I don't think many people read the court cases that were involved, but what would happen is Republicans would go to court and they'd say, look, a lot of laws were broken in how these elections were run. The judges would come back and say, there were problems with that, but we're not going to do anything unless you can go and show us up front that there was enough fraud to go and change the outcome of the election. And the Republicans would come back and say, well, we weren't really allowed to observe, in many cases, the vote counting that was going on, so we're going to have discovery. And the judges say, look, we're not going to grant you discovery until you can show us up front that there was enough of a problem.
And how does that make any sense? Is that that's not the way things normally work, is it? I mean,
no.
Normally discovery is so you can say, look, we've got reasonable doubt or reasonable concerns or whatever it would be, the measure, and being blocked from discovery, we haven't had a case yet with discovery, have we?
No, it's very unusual. I mean, obviously, this was all sensitive, and you can understand to some extent judges not wanting to get involved. But, it's so anyway, as you say, the Republicans were kind of caught in a catch-22. And so I wanted to see if I could go and try to get some type of systematic measure of the amount of a problem that existed there. And so my paper provides three tests for this, looking at absentee ballots, looking at provisional ballots, and then looking at whether there was an unusual turnout that was occurring in those places where fraud was occurring. The basic idea for the first two tests is that you had counties where problems were alleged next
right.
to counties where there were no problems that were alleged. And it's kind of hard to compare full counties, because if there's something that causes people to want to go and engage in using absentee ballots, for example, at higher rates or provisional ballots, that could vary a lot over the course of over the place of a whole county, because there are lots of differences in constituents. So what I looked at was precinct data, where you have precincts on opposite sides of the street. If you look at Allegheny County, for example, which is Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania, you have 1,323 precincts in the county there. So you're talking about very small, very homogeneous areas. And when you're talking about two small areas on opposite sides of the street, these are very similar in terms of how they voted in past elections, like the 2016 election, either an in-person or an absentee
ballot. Ask you this, because we've only got about a minute left or just over. Looking at this and the abnormalities, the irregularities, do you believe that some of this, somebody had their thumb on the scale? Was there fraud, or do you at least get the impression that there was fraud?
Yeah. I strongly believe that if the election had used the same rules in 2020 that they used in 2016, that Trump would have won. The evidence is strongest in Pennsylvania, for example, with regard to the provisional ballots, and I think the evidence in terms of the unusual turnout just in those places where fraud was alleged is very strong also. I think those are the strongest pieces of evidence that are there, and I think
people need to know that, and I'm glad we're sharing that, and we'll get to more of that, because we've seen the video of people showing up with handfuls of ballots in places like Georgia, stuffing the ballot boxes, too. Dr. John Lott, President, Crime Prevention Research Center. Find out more, crimeresearch.org. Thank you, sir, as always.
Thank you.
All right. Quick break here on the Steve Gruber Show. I'll be right back.
Ever wonder if that old coin you found may be worth a mint? At Liberty Coin, you don't have to wonder anymore. Liberty Coin has been in the business of turning lost treasures into actual cash for decades. If you have old coins or any kind of paper money too, the experts at Liberty Coin can help you figure out exactly what it's worth, and they might even make you an offer. Right here on the Steve Gruber Show, Liberty Coin experts will answer your questions live on the air. So if you think you might be able to cash in, send an email to coins@stevegruber.com. Send a picture if you can. coins@stevegruber.com.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.